The Spirit and the Church cry out, Come, Lord Jesus. All those who await his appearance pray, Come, Lord Jesus. The whole creation pleads, Come, Lord Jesus. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel by a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful and you love your whole creation, and we, your creatures, glorify you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, O Lord, and let your loving kindness descend on us, that we may, with purified minds, sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it
to keep your righteous rules.
I am severely afflicted.
Give me life, O Lord, according to your word.
Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord,
and teach me your rules.
I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not
forget your law.
The wicked have laid a snare for me,
but I do not stray from your precepts.
Your testimonies are my heritage forever,
for they are the joy of my heart.
I incline my heart to perform your statutes
forever to the end. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Your word is a lamp to my feet,
and a light to my path.
You may be seated. Let's sing together the Advent of Our God, hymn number 12, in your blue hymnal. Hymn number 12.
Advent of our God shall be our theme for prayer. Come, let us meet him on the road and place for him prepared. The everlasting Son, incarnate stoops to be. Himself the servant's form puts on to set his people. to meet your lowly King. Nor let your faithless hearts despise the peace he comes to bring. As judge on clouds of light, he soon will come again, and all his scattered saints unite with him on high to reign. Before the dawning day, let sin be put to flight. No longer let the law hold sway, but walk in freedom's light. All glory to the Son, who comes to set us free. With Father, Spirit, ever one, through all eternity.
Our reading this evening, as we're considering our stained glass windows, we're considering the first one as you're walking in, the one back there. Thy word is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. And you have the image right there for you in the reading. Our reading's from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. He shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in our land. This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
We consider the Catechism. What is the third article of the Creed?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What does this mean?
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith.
In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers.
On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ.
This is most certainly true.
Continue on with our hymn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, we consider the image of our stained glass window. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We said in the small catechism of Dr. Martin Luther, the third article, that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe. In fact, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe. But the Holy Spirit has enlightened me. So I wanted to open up a few statements here about what he has enlightened us to, and then we'll consider the image together, consider some of the text together, or the psalm together as well. One of the things that our Lord's Word enlightens us to is he diagnoses our problem. We know we have a problem, but our Lord's Word comes and he diagnoses it much more accurately than we ever could. So we know that we have a problem in our families. We have family problems. But then our Lord's Word comes and he diagnoses that the biggest problem that we have is that we are in fact outside by nature of God's family. Children of the devil, Jesus will call the Pharisees one time. We know that we have a problem in our bodies. Bodies get broken. But our Lord's Word comes and he diagnoses that we have a problem also in our souls, that our soul is cast into outer darkness. We know that we have enemies in this world, and that's a problem. But then our Lord's Word comes and he lets us know that we were by nature enemies of God. And that the enemies that we do have are not flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, St. Paul is going to say. We wrestle against the principalities and powers of the darkness. Much more powerful enemies than you could ever think. And he then enlightens us with a solution, the gift, the remedy, the medicine. That our Lord Jesus was cast into outer darkness, that the Son of God was crucified so that we might all be children of the Heavenly Father. That our Lord Jesus took on a body and a soul and our sin so that we might have a soul that goes to be with Jesus when we die and is promised the resurrection of the body. We are promised that we are no longer enemies. Jesus says, I call you my friends. We are children of the Heavenly Father. All of those things you cannot believe by your own reason or strength. But the Holy Spirit has called you through the Bible. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. He enlightens you how much of a big problem you have and how much more of a gift that you have as well. So I wanted you to look at the image here with us. It's a beautiful image that we have. And then when you can come in, maybe on Sunday morning or something, you can see it in the light too. The first image that you have when you're walking in is in the narthex, is the I am the Alpha and the Omega, and we considered that last week, and how powerful that is, that that's the first image that we encounter. And then the second image that you encounter as you're walking into the sanctuary is God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. So this is an ancient lamp. The oil or the fat would be held right there. The wick would go all the way down. And what do you notice about this particular lamp? What do you think the artists are trying to preach to you all about this image?
There's a lamp look like.
Yeah, it looks like a genie lamp. I know. That's my first thought too. I'm so glad you said that because I know you aren't the only one that was thinking it too. That was just kind of what the ancient lamps look like too. Kind of weird. What's inside? Yeah. And what do you ask for? What do you ask for, right? You ask for more wishes, right? Isn't that what you do?
Rubik, though.
Yeah. That's right.
It's sort of like you have.
And also the Word is behind it.
Right.
You have a scary
lamp lights up the Word. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that you know, it's trying to preach very, very clearly what is that light. It is, in fact, the Word of God right behind it, too. Miss Laura?
Well, Yeah, I said you have a stairway on it. It looks like, you know, down where it's sitting, and you kind of stairway up to heaven.
Okay.
And also, you can also picture to the cross.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of the most powerful images that I see too. You know, because one thing that we Christians all share is a love for God's word. We know that God is speaking to us in his word. But one of the most clear things that we have is when Jesus says, you believe the scriptures because you think they have power, but in them they testify to me. That we know, in fact, what is the central aspect of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that when you have the cross at the center of everything, everything becomes a little more clear. It's a beautiful sort of thing. Like in Exodus, when Moses is on top of a mountain and there's a battle that's going on, and as long as Moses held up his arms like this, the Israelites were winning, and then when his arms started to get tired, they started to lose. You know, this is Christ at the center of everything, or the striking of the rock and the water coming out of the rock, and then Jesus comes and he gets stabbed and blood and water come out of him. I mean, it just, when you have the cross at the center, things just become a little more enlightened about that too. I know my wife grew up in the Nazarene church, and she memorized like the book of Exodus for like one summer, but it wasn't until she became a Lutheran and a pastor walked through her and said, well, there's Jesus in Exodus here and here and here and here, that it just became all that much more wonderful and comforting.
It also can remind you of Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, the bottom of the lamp. It sort of reminds you of people down, you know, down there, and then you're going up, and Moses is up in the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments from God.
Okay. Yeah. And I was trying, you know, the thing that our Lord's Word does is it enlightens us on the law, what we are to do, and how much we fail to do it, but then all the more it enlightens us on the gospel, what Jesus has done for us. So the mention of the Ten Commandments brings us back to that too. Other thoughts from the readings or from the image that you have in front of you? One of the things I wanted to point out, our reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Notice how St. Paul says, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. Why? Why is he so emphatic that we do not tamper with God's word?
Because his word is true.
Yeah.
Those false prophets are the ones that typically will twist the word.
Right.
Because they want it to be their word. So we should not tamper with his word, because his word is true, and we need to make sure we're holding fast to that, because any other word is untrue.
Right. Right. We're surrounded by lies.
Yeah.
And you got it right too. Yeah, that it is in fact the false prophets. That is one of the greatest warnings that we have against in Holy Scripture. Yes, the Lord warns us against the world, but he especially warns us against the false prophets. And the false prophets have the word. They just twist the word. And they have powerful signs, Jesus is going to say. And St. Paul is writing to a group of Corinthians that are being drawn away from the faithful and true word. And it is the truth. When you mess with the truth, you end up with so many errors. If God's word is the light, what happens when you tamper with it?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the other things I wanted to point out to you is verse 4 says that seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So kind of have that phrase in there, Christ, the image of God. And then verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Which is one of the beautiful things about this picture, that it has a cross on it. That God's word is a light, but that this light is in fact the person of Jesus Christ. Like, you want to know what God thinks about you, you look at the face of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, St. Paul's going to say in another epistle. He is the image of God. You don't have to wonder, and that God's word is a word, a preached word, but it's also a incarnate word, a person. What does St. John say at the beginning? In the beginning was the Word. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. You know, so thy word is a lamp to our feet could have kind of this multiple meaning here. This is the Word of God, and it is the Word of God. And that is, in fact, the knowledge of who God is. Christ at the center. Dying for you, bleeding, dying, raising, saying, peace be with you. The problems you have are much bigger than you think you have, and God's gift of grace is also much, much bigger than you think you have as well. Other things? Beautiful sort of thing. Maybe the final thing will be this. You can somewhat know how to live a godly life without His Word. God's law is written on the human heart. What you cannot know without Jesus, what you cannot know without the Holy Spirit, what you cannot know without His Word is how much He forgives you and how much He loves you. You are completely in the dark. That is a complete mystery without God's word coming and saying that He sent His Son to die for you so that you might have forgiveness, and that in this Christian church you daily and richly receive that forgiveness. Well, let's continue on then with our offering. We'll sing together our offering hymn, This Little Light of Mine.
Please rise. In peace, let us pray to the
Lord.
Divine peace and of pardon with all our hearts and with all our minds. Let us pray to the
Lord have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, for the proclamation of the gospel, and for the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the
Lord have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the
Lord have mercy.
And for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the
Lord have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult and dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the
Lord have
and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the
Lord have mercy.
For the aging, for the sick, for the dying, for all who care for them, let us pray to the
Lord have mercy.
For those that we now name with our hearts and our voices.
Clemens Fowler.
Let us pray to the
Lord have mercy.
For these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the
Lord have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life, Christ, our Lord.
You, O Lord.
O God, from whom come all holy desires,
all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Taught by our Lord, trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.